Father. We don't worry about nothing because you're good. You never leave us nor forsake us. You are a wonderful God. Lord, you're already welcome here. You were welcome before we got here because we welcome you into our personal space, our heart. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. And we'll keep singing and shouting how good you are, even in a world that thinks you're not good. You're good. You're good to them too. So, Father, we thank you for this time with you and your word. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to talk about why think like God. Say, why think like God?
Why think like God?
And before you may be watching online, or those who are here maybe get a little nervous. Well, think like God? I mean, hold on. We're not taking God's spot. We're giving God a spot.
Amen.
Yeah. We're not taking God's spot, but we're giving God a spot in our thinking and in our heart.
Amen.
When we learn to think like God. Yes. Let me say that again. Because the challenge people have, and it's oftentimes misunderstanding, sometimes inappropriate teaching, not biblical, but the Bible is very clear in the book of Isaiah. The Lord says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Amen.
And my ways are higher than your ways.
That's right.
And so God's thoughts see more and understand more than we can ever think on our own. So that is definitely clear. But we can learn to tap into how God thinks by tapping into the Holy Scriptures.
Yes.
You see, the Scriptures are, in fact, God's express will, desire, and his thinking. You know how you may write an email, you may talk to someone and you want to make sure it's clear, you write it down in the email and click. That reflects your what? Thinking.
Yes.
God has moved upon men, the Bible says, holy men of God will move by the Holy Spirit to write the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. So man did not write the Bible on his own.
Amen.
God instructed him, God empowered them to write this. And it is his express will, but it's how he thinks. Say how he thinks.
How he thinks.
And also what he thinks about you. And allows us to learn how to think about God because he's going to let you know who he is and what he's like. So you don't have to pick it up on the evening news.
Amen.
On Instagram or social media or Twitter or Facebook. You can find out what God is like in the Bible.
Amen.
And we want to talk about the why. Say the why.
The why.
Because there's a reason why we should think like God. Because if we don't think like God, by default, you're going to think like someone else. Or another type of thinking. And it won't be good to us and for us. So God is all about giving us the abundant life. That's what our name Zoe comes from, called life, the life that God has. But we come to Christ as Christians, we have a heart to just love him, we realize we need God in our life, we receive Jesus Christ, and then if we don't learn adequately how to live this life and think the thoughts of God, and in particular, think the thoughts of God about ourselves. About ourselves. One of the biggest challenges people have in their life is identity. And they don't see themselves as God sees them. So the Bible has a lot to say about who you are. Say who I am.
Right.
And who you are in Christ. Not before Christ, not outside of Christ, but who you are in Christ. What happens when we come to Christ and if we don't continue to grow and learn about God's thinking through the Scriptures, we may know a verse here or there, but we don't really get a good understanding of it. We still carry on the old thinking about, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart, there's certain things I can't do. And yet the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we got to start thinking like that. So we won't approach a certain class. We'll drop out when the grades aren't good. You know, the midterm and it's hard, difficult, rather than get help and prefer from the Lord, but also have a mindset, I can do this.
Yes.
I have a relative, he had lived with us for a while, as a young person in high school. He had difficulties in math. And really, he was good, he was okay at it, but he had a mindset that when it's time for tests, he kind of froze. It was in his thinking. Now, he can do a little bit better, get some skill set, but he was freezing at the examination, getting migraine headaches when it was test time. It was about how he thought about it. Yeah. And we all can have a time like that, but my point is that how to learn how to think like God is key to everything.
Amen.
And that's a growth process, but we got to start and continue. Say continue.
Continue.
So it says here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Wow, wait a minute. God thinks, he said, "I know the thoughts I think toward you." God is aware of how he's thinking about us. Husbands, wives, are you aware of your thoughts you're thinking about your spouse? I'm going to look on this, look up here maybe. Yeah. This is powerful. God is aware, and then he's about to describe what those thoughts are. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Say thoughts of peace.
Thoughts of peace.
That means my interaction toward you is going to be peaceful. So if you come to me with a request or a need, I'm not going to push you away. I'm not going to be mad at you. It's peace. I'm not trying to hurt you. And then he says, make it clear, not of evil. Say not of evil.
Not of evil.
Now, many of us, this is kind of obvious, but it's not obvious for a lot of people. Maybe some of you even here today. And wait till something happens. Maybe your prayer won't answer the way you thought. You think God took somebody. God took that person. And God, why? You think he's evil. He's not evil. But we just been singing the song. That's not a made-up song. That's out of the Bible. God is good.
Yes, he is.
But unless you get immersed and really believe that in your heart and start hearing it over and over again and believing it, somehow in circumstances you attribute the evil to God. And why bother praying to an evil God? Mm-hmm. Wow. So you won't pray because you think God is what? Evil. But he's not. He's not. So God is, see, he deals with the thoughts. So we can get into the heart and change our behavior. And then we can experience this Zoe God kind of life. But it's how we think. Say how we think. And God is aware of his thoughts toward us. He said, they're good. My thoughts toward you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Then he says, to give you. He has something for us. To give you a future and a hope. Say a future and a hope.
A future and a hope.
This is powerful as well because a future clearly implies something going on for you, something prepared for you, a plan, a preparation, a something you can thrive in. Then he adds on hope. That means it's a positive thing. It's a good thing. I have something for you. I got a plan for you for your future. Now, this is God, creator of heaven and earth, maintains the universe and this earth realm. That God has a plan for your life. And he's thinking about it, about us. So what I'm getting at is that he thinks good thoughts about how we should live our life, but also about who we are and what we have as a right, as a child of God, what we can do. All that impacts how we live our lives. And then it starts in our thought process. We need to think the thoughts that God has toward us. That's my point.
Amen.
But if you don't know the thoughts, you don't know what God's thinking about you. We pick up something else. We make up something.
Yeah.
And then we don't have the benefit. That's my point. I'm really talking about the why behind learning more about the Bible. I'm talking about the why to take time to read and study the Bible. I'm talking about the why to meditate and go deeper and thinking about it more and apply it because it impacts our thinking. And our thinking impacts our behavior. And our behavior impacts our lives and those around us. So God would take his thoughts, which are not just average thinking like an idea in a newspaper, or taking a class, a school lecture, but his word, Jesus says, my words are spirit and their life. Say spirit and their life.
Spirit
and they are life. Which means it's not just an idea. They're powerful. That's how the life changes. The word of God is spirit and they are life. It's interesting that God talks about our mind, our thinking. Look at Proverbs 23 and 7. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Notice he's talking about our thinking. As we think in our heart, meaning you're thinking deeply about it, so are you. So, again, it goes back to thinking like God, because whatever you think about, you're going to become that. Whatever you think about. There's no judgment. Just give you an idea of just how powerful the thought is. A man, a young man, who grows up to be, maybe he's a teenager, say 18 years old, and he decides, I'd rather act more like a woman. He's all male, has all the equipment to be a male, born that way. But you know what? I want to be a woman. And he believes in his heart. Say, believes in his heart. He should be a woman. So he studies women and began to act like women, a woman. And his behavior is so much like a woman. Whether he dresses like a woman or not, he acts like a what? Woman. And it's all in how he what? Thinks. Many men will tell you that who are gay. They'll tell you, I'm a male, but I prefer to be with men. It's how he what? Thinks. What a minister to you. That's how powerful how we think impacts who we are and how we embrace ourselves. I know it's a touchy subject, but I want to let you know that it's huge. It's huge. I'm not management material, so you never apply for a better job, upper-level job, supervisor. Because how would we what? Think. Or nobody in our family starts a business. So we don't do good at that. We don't do that. So you never think about starting a business. Or we don't go to college. Or whatever the thought is, you are what you what?
Think.
And it's easy to blame it on other people, put it off. But see, you can't blame how you think. You thought that. You got to take ownership of your thoughts. That's why I like our good friend, Dr. Karen Lyleaf, Christian neuroscientist. He says, you ought to think about what you're thinking about, like God thinks about what he's thinking about, by the way. I'm aware of the thoughts I think toward you.
Amen.
I know the thoughts. Guess what? You should be aware of your thoughts, too.
Amen.
In fact, the Bible also first talks to us about how we need to cast down, to examine those thoughts and with the Word of God, and put down those thoughts that somehow try to exalt itself above what God says about you.
Right.
So unless you have the scripture to compare those thoughts, you will find yourself maybe unintentionally accepting a thought that's not a thought of God, and you will not experience the peace and the joy and the blessing and the life like that word that God thought God has for you in that area that he promised you because you thought another thought and you didn't know how to reject it. My name is Edward. That's my name. I'm in a gathering, and somebody calls me Mark. I look around. Mark, looking at me. Oh, he may look behind me. Mark! Mark! No, your name is Mark. No, it's not me. Oh, I thought you were Mark. And that goes on to somebody else. I did not respond because I know who I am. And that word, Mark, did not resonate with me. I want to minister to you. Because really, it's in our control how we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not taught too much as well. But see, the Satan has access to our thinking, mm-hmm. but whether he stays in our thinking is up to us.
Amen.
Yeah. An evil thought that's not of God will come to our head and thinking, but whether you accept it and act upon it is up to you. Yeah. I have a Christian friend. I'll leave it at that. Don't go to our church, but friend of our ministry, but she doesn't come here. She told me one day, told her husband, I was talking to my husband, had an argument. I said, I hate you. I hate you. And then she went to her room, and the Spirit of God said, no, you don't. Go tell him you don't hate him. She walked in there. She felt like it. But God helped her. Examine your thoughts, sister. Because you keep saying that, you're going to start feeling that. Next thing you know, it's going to be you really hate him. And people wonder how they get where they are in life. It's how they what? You got this today. As a man thinketh in his heart deeply. It wasn't like a passing emotional quick thing. No, you stick with it. See, Satan, oh yeah, words are seeds. He'll plant a seed. I hate him. Or I hate her. They're not good for me. They're not good. I don't love them no more. That didn't come from God. You wonder why people fall out of love if you were another. It didn't happen all of a sudden. It happened over time. Them dwelling on thoughts like, I guess I married the wrong one. You've been married 25 years, what do you mean? Now you're figuring that out? No, it has got rocky. You allow it to get a lot of relationships to go get kind of tough and all that. But you can't accept those thoughts. Those thoughts are seized and they will bear fruit. You wouldn't know why a man cheats on his woman, on his wife, and a woman wife cheats on her husband? It's because they allow these words, these thoughts, to become theirs. Yeah. Yeah, somebody got it. Yeah. As a man or woman thinks in their heart, thinks deeply. So thoughts of God is going to help us, y'all. It's going to help us think the thoughts that are good. Peace in your home and your marriage. Come on. Your friendships, your job. Thoughts. That's why the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. But you have, if you come from old school, nobody talks to me like that. Well, no, give a soft answer, brother, right now. You can keep your job, okay? Give a soft answer right now. And it becomes practical in life. Amen. You will live long, especially on the street. Mm-hmm. Just walk away, man. Just walk away. Just walk away. Get in his face. He has a gun. He's gone. Because he didn't understand the thought of a soft answer. Turns away what? Wrath. I'm sorry. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Say conformed to this world. You know, the world has a way of doing things. And he's not talking about just the activities by itself, but it's really the thinking as well. Because the thinking precedes the activities and the behaviors and what goes on in the world. And he's very clear, don't adapt to the ways of the world. And the way we adapt to the ways of the world is by the ways of how the world thinks. The world is the world system. People that don't know God, how things are done in the world. Tit for tat. They'll lie. It's amazing. Now you can get all kind of folk are lying. It's public. They lie and it's okay almost. But it ain't okay. It's not okay. And people around in the world say, well, you know, you can lie a little bit. Even a little bit gonna catch it. It's a seed. Amen. And that seed gonna grow. You got to think, I got to wear that little lie and get a little bigger lie. And then you're in. Yeah. You're in jail. Or you lost too much in your relationships. Those are the ways of the world. And so, how do we not conform? Because it's natural for us to conform. We live in this world, you all. We go to schools and we drive and have jobs and we go places and we live in this world. We can't hide. God put us in the world, but to be different. And not to be different, to enjoy a life that people want to mimic and want what you have. But if we don't get our thinking straight, we Christians go to church, got the label, but don't have the fruit or enough of it. I mean, can you imagine the ladies, you know, praise God, I'm doing some of my church, I sing, I choir, whatever. And then all of a sudden, but you can chime in when somebody's talking about her husband. Yeah, my husband, he's something else. Don't you go to church? Now, you may be having marital problems as a Christian. I get it. But they'll say, you know what? I've been having some similar challenges, but I've been praying, believing God. Can we pray together now? Amen. We both having challenges. Let's pray together. Are you following me?
Amen.
It's your thinking and approach to it. And now they realize, you're offering hope. I'm going to join in with you. I need hope in my marriage. As opposed to everybody chiming in how bad their husbands are or wives are. See, that's the ways of the world. You don't get the help. You don't get the really your heart desire. You just lie on your natural flesh and you're picking up on the wrong thoughts. As if those thoughts aren't powerful. Our thoughts are powerful. When President Kennedy announced to the world, we're going to put a man on the moon, that thought mobilized all the scientists around the world and NASA put a man on the moon multiple times. Never think the thoughts you think don't count. Think about what you're thinking about, even right now. As God speaks to you, he's speaking to you, a rhema word, personal to you. I don't want to know it, don't need to know it. He's speaking to you. What are you thinking about what God is saying to you right now? How this applies to you and your life. Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't talk about this on this first service. God's talking. The thoughts you're thinking now as I'm talking. Take heed. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And how do you respond to that? What do you think about those thoughts? Because if we don't think the thoughts are important, especially in an environment like this, I'm in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you're missing what God is saying to you, how it applies to you personally about what you should do or not do. Think about what you're thinking about right now. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Say transformed.
Transformed.
By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, much of science deals with the brain, and appropriately so. Because you can examine it and look at it and touch it and so forth. That's your dead brain, okay? But God don't talk about the brain. It's not that it doesn't exist. He focuses on the mind. Yeah. That's deeper than the physical. The brain is a physical thing. In other words, an analogy, he focuses on the software, not the hardware. The inside, the deep part, that's controlling everything else that impacts the outside. Don't be conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Notice, not even he doesn't say having been renewed. I got that already, Pastor. And I've heard people, and I understand, I'm not mad at them, I just, they just don't get it, you know. I'm talking on a certain series about, say, the prayer of the Holy Spirit. I got that already. I don't need to come. Oh, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. The Bible is not like a novel. It's spiritual. It goes deep. Plus, there's always more insight you can gain. So likewise, when I read the Bible, even read the same verse I may have been reading or the same chapter, I read it again 6 months or a year later, and I realize I see something in there I didn't see before. Why? I'm at a different place than where I was before. Yeah. And God is using that word to teach me, help me in that certain place. Amen. That ministers to me personally. That's the value of thinking like God. Yes. And tapping into the thoughts of God. Yes. And staying tapped in. Amen. Not taking off on your list. I read that. Because we're living people. And we change, we adjust, we grow and mature. And it's the thoughts of God that's designed to give you the life he has in store for us. If you're difficult to reading, I'm not knocking you. Get you a Bible app that can talk to you. We have no excuse. You can get the Bible read to you. But we got to get the thoughts of God. It's not just I go to church. I'm a Christian. I'm doing better in my life. Wonderful. But God has more. Say, God has more.
God has more.
Oh, yeah. We see it too often. Here we, Christian, doing good, got a good career, got children on the right track. But because we haven't been as diligent in making sure our thoughts are in line with the thoughts of God regarding various matters of our life, especially regarding love and forgiveness, and love and forgiveness with our wife or husband, then we'll plan to leave our spouse and don't tell them about it. We'll plan for months, even years. My daughter turns 21, I'm out of here. Put money aside so I can, you know, and haven't told the spouse. And when it happens, it devastates the family because it surprises everybody. Mostly everybody. Spouse knows, has a hint, but didn't really realize it was that serious. All because their thinking was not continually renewed. Good people, nice person, but I don't love him no more. I don't love her no more. That don't happen because some incident occurred. It grew over time. It grew over time. But it can be arrested if we start thinking thoughts and get those thoughts back on God. Amen. Yeah, we can arrest it and get more and restore the relationship. It's all about how we think and how we think about ourselves and how we should think about others, in this case, about your spouse. Are there practical things to work on? Of course there are. I get it. But your attitude, your thinking is possibility now. Where'd that come from? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. But I got my limit, then somehow you didn't get the piece about I can do all things. It may be hard, but I can do all things. Maybe difficult, I can do all things. But take a while, I can do all things. Especially when he put two together. But it's how we think. Say how we think. Yeah. And I know this is tough sometimes, but the reality is, my friend, it's tougher when we get out there in the world and we got to deal with it. And then we blame God or put it off on God. And it's not always God at all. It starts off with us and how we deal with those thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
And I got to deal with it. Bishop got to deal with that. Yeah, I got to deal with my thoughts as well. And I realize I should have meant God forgive me for thinking that way. The Word of God can change our thinking, change our life. I have one of my spiritual daughters here with us from Chicago, Amy Paris, and I asked her to come share a bit, her testimony of what God's done in her life. from a different father, though, Heavenly Father.
My spiritual father here. I was here 20 years ago. And you brought something up just now that made me think about my childhood. And I grew up thinking I was a dumb one in the family. My brother and sister were National Merit Scholars. They did school really well. I didn't do school well, but I did it all right. And I remember believing I was dumb. I went to speech therapy. And all my years, but yet I started to speak over my life that I am brilliant. And it was before I was a Christian. And I remember just saying, I'm brilliant. They don't know. And what happened is now, ironically, I'm now a teacher in a high school. I teach a class called How to Think Like a Genius. And I also teach speech class. So that's part of the testimony I didn't share this morning. But one of the things that I want you guys to think about when I saw Bishop and Vanessa in Chicago, when Naomi, they were checking in on Facebook. I'm like, what? I needed to get a taste of home. And I ended up having dinner with them. And I just casually mentioned my testimony when I first moved to Chicago. So what I did is I was so spent. I had taught for 10 years here in Paramount High School. And I was just so tired. And I just kind of went AWOL and sold everything I owned. And I just went back to the Midwest where my family's from. And I wanted to live where I didn't have a car. So I gave up everything. I planted myself in Chicago, didn't have a job, got an apartment for $1,200. Don't know how, because I didn't have a job. And, you know, and that same week, I think I wandered down to the restaurant in the building, and I said, do you guys need any help? They put me as a little reservationist in the back, which is not much money. It was about $1,260 that a month. So do the math. I decided I was still going to do the tithes at a little church across the street, and I consistently tithed that whole year, and I never tapped into that $3,000 once. And again, it doesn't make sense, but God says to test him on this. And I said, okay, Lord, it says in your word, I'm going to test you, you know, bring your tithe in the store, bring their tithes in the storehouse. And then I remember also that same year, I got a job again, fighting the calling. I got a job then on the southwest side of Chicago, and I'm still there now teaching drama and speech, and now I teach English. And it was just the financial blessing came because of my consistency. And even to this day, part two of this testimony was this year. Bishop didn't know I was going to share this. When he asked me to share that testimony, I came this year in the fall of this school year. I had given up my car again, this 18 years, finally this last May, I gave up my car again. And I'm saving money for this retirement. I have to buy my California years in order to get my full pension in Illinois. So I thought, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm not going to have a car. And in the fall, I was tithing to a church that had a scandal. The mega church had the scandal. We were in the city campus. So I noticed that my savings of having no car and nothing financially, nothing was changing. And I thought, maybe it's the ground I'm sowing in. So I switched my tithe in January to Zoe. Didn't know it. They didn't know it. And I have now doubled my savings. God knocked out the what I owe. I was owing like $25,000 more for the California years. Now I owe less. Money is just, again, it's like, it doesn't make any sense. I noticed I pay my credit card in full every month, and I was paying a certain amount, and now I notice since January, I'm not spending $1,000 more. I used to spend $1,000 more a month. And I'm like, what? And so, like, this is where I want to encourage any of you that aren't consistent givers, that this is one area of your Christian walk that you just really have to step out in faith. Even just purpose in your heart to give a certain amount and be consistent with that amount. And you will be amazed at the blessings that are going to come your way. And it's not just financial blessings. Sometimes it's a covering, a spiritual covering that's going to come over your life because you are a consistent giver and you're putting God first. You know, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. If you're not seeking him first, what are you doing? So I just had to share my testimony. I'm honored to be in front of the Christian family that I call home. Even though it's, but I just want to say thank you for the teachings that I had here. Because of the teaching, I have that foundation, and I want to just encourage you in the same respect. Thank you.
Could you share with them, Amy, how the word had impacted your life? You mentioned earlier about your education and how you're feeling about yourself, and then you, before you became a Christian. Mm-hmm. When you became a Christian, what scriptures, or how did you approach it about getting a better self-image?
When I became a Christian, I know there was, again, being a part of a fellowship of believers really helped me get my identity, knowing how God thinks of me, because my father abandoned us, and I just know that he is a father to the fatherless.
Yes.
And because of that, I just remember I am a child of God. Mm. And just think of the power of God. He spoke this world into existence.
Yeah.
How much more is that power in us? And his blood that was shed for me covers me. I'm talking any scenario I've been through. I've had gun pulled on me. Mm. I've had situations at school that are just don't want to speak about, and God protected
me. Come on.
But speaking the word, I know, because it has life, and speaking God's word back to him. Mm. You know, when you talk to somebody in your life and like, you said this, you said that. I didn't say that. Well, God doesn't change. His character doesn't change. So you got to speak his word, what he said about you, back to him, and then it all manifests.
Come on. Wow.
Yeah.
Come on. Think about what she said. about the scriptures that came to her mind, she learned and understood. God is a father to the fatherless.
Amen.
That's really where we are without God.
Mm-hmm.
And even as Christians, if we don't see him, our thinking is not like a father. He's just God. He's a person you go to get stuff. But he's a father.
Yes.
And there's a song we sing at times about, in my father's house. And God is wanting those you recognize, I need a father. I want God to be my father. He wants to be your father.